Before I start, I would like to say something. What is my personal commitment to doing doing these lectures? We call them the Gaura Lila evenings, and I started to give them several years ago, when the day when the when I was young and the world was younger. I gave them out of a great need. The need was, first of all, a personal need, and then a need to share what I had discovered. The personal need is that I very much believe in the path of experience in Krishna consciousness. I am sometimes criticized for this because sometimes members who come to a institution, a spiritual institution, are satisfied with the teachings. In German language you would say that die Lehrmeinung, or you know the Lehrmeinung in a different word, the dogma. It gives them security, it gives them something to frame their life and to understand themselves. Experience is different than a philosophy. Experience sometimes brings things into your life where you have to reframe your life, where you have to think anew, where you have to... Experience is not under our control. Philosophy is under our control. We are making a philosophy. We are accepting a philosophy. We are thinking in a philosophy. Experience is often something which comes into our world and which teaches us like no other teacher through sometimes in a very surprising and shocking way. So I have always, this is just the way I am, it's not better than anyone else or worse than anyone else, it's my own nature. I have always looked for the experience in Krishna consciousness, and in my own studies I began to understand that 500 plus years something very important happened in this world. Krishna reappeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give the experience of bhakti free to one and all. He did not look for qualifications, who was qualified to get this gift. He gave it even to the unqualified. And he gave that through a very, very distinct path, which he called Nam Kirtan. Through this process, he gave people a very real experience of bhakti. Some scholars have said he electrified people. And without having gone through the sadhana, which is normally demanded of a spiritual practitioner, he would bring people to very exalted states of consciousness where people experience what is called the sattvika bhavas, ecstatic responses to the experience, like trembling and becoming totally blissful. Sometimes I'm afraid to say, because we live such a normal Western life, and when we hear trembling, paling, and so on, we think, oh, this is something less desirable. This is something I'm afraid of. I tremble only when my wife gets angry on me. But that ecstatic trembling out of love, it's beyond us. It's something we are not, we rarely experience. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this experience, and it was such a blissful experience that the people at his time were able to turn their back to the material life, where they recognized the taste of material life is so insignificant in comparison to the wonderful experience of bhakti which Mahaprabhu was distributing at the Prema Purushottavata. Understanding that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered this experience, I was very interested to study his life and his teachings. And what I recognized is that if you understand the path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and if you follow it exactly like it is presented through the parampara which comes from Mahaprabhu into the present time, you can also have spiritual experience. This was my experience, my realization. And therefore I like to talk about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in these Gaura Lila evenings, and I also like to present aspects of the wonderful path which he has come to reveal to us. It is my contention heißt eine herausfordernde Äußerung, that the Hare Krishna people don't know to chant Hare Krishna. This is what I say, because they have not really gone deep into the experience of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a generic statement. It's a statement which I do to engage in discussion with the members of our movement. I personally don't think that no one in our movement has spiritual experience. I think there are many, many wonderful devotees, very, very exalted devotees, and I consider myself the servant, and I don't think I am special as far as experience is concerned. When you are on this path, usually you notice, oh, you are so you yourself are really insignificant, and so on and so forth. But I like to engage in discussion with you. I like to make you think in these Gaura Lila evenings, and if I can just inspire you just this much to try to understand the wonder of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift, and if I can motivate you to follow this, I consider the Gaura Lila evening a full success, and I think I have done my service. Hare Krishna. So we want to start now. Enough with the preview of coming attractions. Let's get right to the heart of the matter and start today with Mahaprabhu's miracles.
Thank you. Rama, Rama, Rama.
Svati chasa Krishna padara vinda maharasa shashvita vishvamisham kam apyashesha shudiguda vesham gaurangamangi kurumuda cheta om ajanati merandasya jananjala shalakaya Shakshurmilitam yena etasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimamate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nithi Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pachakrani Shatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jivadvaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. O foolish mind, please take shelter of Lord Gauranga, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is hidden from the view of the Vedas. And with his own transcendental potency, he threw the entire world into the great nectar ocean of love for the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. O foolish mind! Please take shelter of Lord Gauranga. In the Vedic scriptures, the living entity is called Bhartu, that is, someone who needs to be supported. In order for any one of us to exist in this world, we need support, we need maintenance. We are not self-sufficient. We are not independently strong. Only if there is a strong backing behind us can we exist. What would you do without money? What would you do without oxygen, if I may ask? What would you do without food and sleep? Oh, become critical. What would you do without experiencing affection by someone else? It would become mental. In these and so many other ways, we are dependent. We are not independent. And here, the author of this verse, you know him already, Prabodhananda Sarasvati, who has this strong language always, says the ultimate shelter is a spiritual shelter which we require. Therefore, he preaches to his own mind, saying, you fool up there, you ruin my life if you don't understand this. Mudha Chetaha is his Sanskrit word. You angikuram, you very small, insignificant, but so influential fool up there. Please take shelter of Lord Gauranga. You're very strong. You feel offended. What? No. I am intelligent. I have designed a business plan. No, no. Without spiritual shelter, Prabodhananda Sarasvati says, you have not raised to the platform where you have used your intelligence properly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explained, is hidden from the view of the Vedas. He is a very rahasya tattva, a tattva or truth, which is very much hidden away, which is put at a place where you really need to look if you want to find it. One of these, but he is not totally absent from the Vedas. There is one work which Bhaktivinoda Thakur found. It is part of the Atharva Veda. It is called the Sri Chaitanya Upanishad. When he heard it, this book was almost not in existence. How do you know that a book is a true Vedic scripture? You need to find other copies of it. Only then you know that it is not made up. So he had heard about it, but he had not seen copies of it. And he did a long, long search, and finally we are informed he found this work in the library of one king. I forgot it. I think it was the king of the state, Tripura, but I'm not sure. And there he found this work, and then he found other copies somewhere, and he translated it because he wanted to show that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is indeed explained to be God in the Vedas. And since this is one of the four Vedas, the Atharva Vedas, it's the breath of God, and this is how it is accepted, he was very happy to find this Praman, this proof of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's existence. In this book, you see a typical Vedic scene. The saint Pipalada comes to his father Brahma, who acts as his guru, and he wants to attain Sumangalam. Sumangalam means supreme auspiciousness. So Brahma first wants him to qualify himself for the secret of all, before he can give him the secret of all secrets, and he therefore gives him a practice by which he purifies his body and mind. This, by the way, is the meaning of the four rules and regulations which we accept when we take sacred initiation. Following them qualifies us by purifying the body and the mind so that we can understand the sublime knowledge which is on a different level than we are when we are material consciousness. So he tells him, you must first do austerities, and the austerity he highlights is brahmacharya, celibacy, and you must do regular yoga practices which involve the purification of the body by the asana system and the purification of the mind by the breathing systems and later concentration and meditational techniques. And then come back to me after 1 year. Then let us study if you are qualified to hear this secret. So after 1 year, Pipalada comes again, and then Brahma reveals to him a very confidential rahasya secret. He says, on the banks of the Ganga in Navadvip, Lord Govinda will appear in a yellow form. He is the indwelling Paramatma who is there in the heart of everyone. He is totally beyond material nature, although he, to say it in modern terms, breaks into our world, and he will manifest bhakti in this world through his Kladini and Samvit Shaktis. This Shakti is a potency which is inherent. It's called the Swarupa Shakti, the inherent potency of the Lord. He will spread bhakti by this spiritual energy. It will not be a psychological conviction of people. It will not be a shastric conviction of people, although Mahaprabhu rests what he says on Shastra, but it will be mainly spread through this Swarupa Shakti. And he will reveal to the world the best of mantras, which contains of the names of Hari, Krishna and Rama. I think you all know a mantra which has the names of Hari, Krishna and Rama. He will manifest bhakti through teaching this mantra. Lord Brahma then gets into the role of a teacher. He says, Mantra Guya Palamo Bhakti Vedya. This mantra, he says, is most confidential and it can be known only by bhakti. What he says is you must chant this mantra with bhakti. If you chant it without bhakti, it will just be some syllables. But if you chant the Maha Mantra with bhakti, it will reveal its divine qualities, ultimately the form, the qualities and pastimes of the Lord. Then he says, those who chant these 16 names continuously refers to what is called Anahata. I forgot the Sanskrit word at this moment, but it is, you chant it either with your lips or you chant it in your mind, and even if you don't chant it with a conscious effort, because you have chanted it for so long, it will just go on in you like a recording which is put onto the never-ending mode. And so on. So those who chant these 16 names continuously are sober. They are not influenced by anything from the world. They are sober, heißt nüchtern, not intoxicated by Maya, and they can cross beyond the material energy. There's nothing greater than this, but should always chant this mantra, which is the supreme secret. If you want to learn to chant, you must actually go to a guru who teaches you the secret. It's a secret. Secret means it is hidden. Prabhupada called this always an open secret, but you need precise instructions to move into this. Anyone, he ends his thing, this is the last verse, text 19 of Chaitanya Upanishad is very brief. Anyone who develops love for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, anyone who worships him, or meditates on him, is freed from sin. He becomes purified, he understands the supreme truth, and he overcomes lamentation. For him, there's no other destination. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur found this Vedic proof for the lordship of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, means that he is the Lord and he has given the Hare Krishna mantra, he was ready to start his pioneer movement. He's known as the modern founder of the, let me say like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has founded the Hare Krishna movement, and it was forgotten again, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought it to the foreground. He's a pioneer, and our Srila Prabhupada is also a pioneer in the sense that he fulfilled a foretelling of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur could only mention, but he couldn't fulfill it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, one day I will see the Russians, the Prussians, Prussians means we, the Germans, the Englishmen, and he mentioned a few countries, coming together in Mayapur and chanting, Joy Sachinandana, Joy Sachinandana.
Joy Sachinandana, Joy Sachinandana.
Yes, yes, yes. So, we are trying to fulfill this prophecy in Mayapur. There are a few dedicated devotees who live there, and they organized the Kirtan Mela for us to fulfill the prophecy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where so many devotees can come from all over the world and join, and you are most welcome to come into that experience, maybe this year or the following years afterwards. Be part of a prophecy. That's much more interesting than to be part of your own plans. Mm-hmm. So, Advaita, I would like to now go a little bit in the history. I will just touch on a few events which are necessary so that I can make my points. I hope I will not bore you to death with this. The history is like this. Advaita Acharya, one great saint, according to our view, he is none else than the Supreme Lord Mahavishnu, who holds Lord Shiva in his embrace, but that's another subject for another day, had seen that he on his own was not able to, let me say, intervene in the degradation which he could see all around him. He lived in near Navadvip, and he would sometimes see in the town a lot of religious degradation. You know, people started to worship anything. Even they put their cats on their altars and worshiped them. It was really, as far as we are concerned, very degraded, and as far as modern artists would be concerned, very avant-gardistic. He on his own was not able to do anything against it. So he went to the banks of the Ganga. He took with him a shila, a Nrsimha shila, with a big open mouth. You can see that shila in Shantipur. And he worshipped this shila by offering Ganga water with tulsi, and by offering his bhakti. He was crying tears and begged the Lord to appear before him. His prayer was heard. The Lord later told him, I heard your prayer. I was peacefully resting, but you cried so loud that it was like a trumpet in my ear. And I had to come. The way the Lord entered this world was very interesting. He entered the heart of Jagannath Mishra as a light. This is how it's described. I think those of you who love movies could just imagine it, the movie, Jagannath Mishra meditating, a light coming in his heart. This is, and from there, He went into Mother Sachi's heart. It is what you call in English an immaculate conception, eine unbefleckte Empfängnis. During that time, when he was within the womb of Mother Sachi, and I believe he stayed for something like 12 months there, during that time, many divine beings were seen touching the earth and being around the hut. Some of them were hovering in the air, some of them were looking through the windows, some of them went in and out of the house, and they prayed. It was for 30 months. Then on the 18th of February, in the year, our calendar year, 1486, how do you say this in English?
1486.
In that, on that 18th of February, that's 3 days after I was born. You know, an ordinary condition, so he tries to relate to this. When there was a total lunar eclipse, the Lord appeared. At that time, all the residents of Navadvip took their bath in the Ganga and they chanted the names of Hari and Vishnu very loudly. They chanted, Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
They did this not with any very religious intent, because they were very degraded at that time. They did this just to avoid trouble, because during a complete lunar eclipse, that's very troublesome. Even nowadays, we also in our movement, when there is a lunar eclipse, we try to close the windows, we put all food away so that the inauspicious atmosphere does not touch either our bodies or our lives very much. And we are advised to stay inside, not go outside and chant. The only safe place is the Ganga, really, because the Ganga is very pure, or any other sacred river. So the people went there really to save their own skin, more or less, and they chanted the names of Hari to avert all possible misery. That was in their minds. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, according to the Chaitanya Bhagavat, whenever wherever he was, he would always say, Hari Hari. I have a friend, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, who also, when he sees me, says, Hari Hari. It is something, because we always look for new fashions, we could adopt this fashion. We should say Hari Hari to each other. You know, or we are fashion lovers, no? So this is a good thing. It's a good habit. When everyone chanted, even the Muslims came out and thought, well, everyone is into Hari Hari. These are our neighbors. There was not super no big animosity. And they also started to chant Hari Hari, thus foreshadowing the divine appearance of the Kirtan avatar, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Now, as this mystical child appeared, there was something very special which his parents one day noted. They had, they lived in their houses, and Brahmanical houses had a floor which was done from a mixture of cow dung and dust. So it's very antiseptic, but it also accumulates dust very quickly. So once Mother Sachi noted something on the floor, and she immediately called her husband and said, "Look, what is this?" They all looked at the floor, almost, you know, like detectives. And what they saw is little footprints, but within the footprints, all the signs of Lord Krishna, a flesh, an octagon, achteck, different water containers, a line, a little circle which indicated the vast sky in which everything is. And being Brahmanas, they knew that these signs were the signs of God. So Sashi Devi said, what could it mean? Jagannath Mishra said, "We are worshipping every day our Gopal in the form of a Shalagram Shila. Maybe the Lord has taken a form of Gopal and walks now through our house." Wow! That very evening, Mother Sachi took her little boy on her lap to breastfeed him. And as she was wondering about the incidents of the day, she saw her little Nimai kicking with the feet, and when she looked at the feet, she almost fainted, because there on the small feet of her little infant boy were the same signs as were on the ground. And she knew it was my boy who had gone, who had been in the hut. It was very, very nice. There was the flag, the thunderbolt, the conch shell, chakra, fish, etc. You know better what she saw. Immediately Jagannath Mishra called for his father-in-law, Nilambara Chakravarti, who was a learned astrologer, told him what he just saw. And Nilambara Chakravarti did astrological calculations, and by the calculations he found out another thing. There are 32 symptoms of a great, great personality, and they must be in your child. The child is not yet fully grown, but we must be able to detect them. And they found also this. And then Nilambara Chakravarti continued to calculate. And as he was going in a trance, he could see this is the Supreme Lord who had come to distribute Krishna consciousness in the age of Kali. Now, as Mahaprabhu, as he became later to be known, let us call him now Nimai, as he became a little older, he would sometimes display anger. Many scholars who have tried to understand him have tried to give an explanation for this, that he became quite angry in his childhood. And they have tried to link this to his ecstatic outbreaks, which he showed later. But that is only the explanation of those who work with their material intelligence. And the Lord had quickly showed that this is not how you can understand him. There is another explanation. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya would get up, he would be in the house when his father was away, he would take a stick and he would start to beat everything he could get a hold of. He would destroy the clay pots. He would go through the house and we only could say, would say, er randalierte. Kennt ihr diesen Ausdruck? He vandalized the whole house. And then he would throw himself on the ground. And his mother did not know what was happening to her child. Imagine one of you would start to do this. Dr. Kane, for instance, would take a stick, run through the castle, would bang on Gadara's new chandelier, their old chandeliers, would destroy the vitrine, you know, and everything. And what would be quiet? We would think, Kane, hast du noch alle Tassen im Schrank? We would become worried, you know. So Mother Sachi could only hide. And then she would come to her son and say, why did you do this? Now I can't cook anything. Look in the kitchen. The flour is spilled all over. The spices are all over. How will your mother cook for you now? Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would get up. He was very, very beautiful. And his mother would look at him. She adored her boy. He looked like a divine being at that time. He would come, he would say, Mother, I need to take a bath now in the Mother Ganga. She would bring him the towels. She would bring what he needed, the oil for taking the bath. And then he would come back freshly bathed. He would have something in his hand. He would say, Mother, take this for now. The mother saw mud in his hand, Ganga mud, but as she looked closer, the mud turned into pure gold. What may be wonderful for us here. We need to buy a castle at the moment and we need some gold. Mahaprabhu would just hand the mud over and as he was holding it, it was gold. And then he would go his own ways. His mother thought, who is this boy? We know that Krishna's ways are sometimes mysterious. We know that when he was displaying his divine pastimes in Braj, he would do the same thing. He would go into the houses of the gopas and the gopis and he would break things. He would, if I can say it, urinate on the floor. Yes, we have this information from Shukadev Goswami. He would pinch the little babies. Then they would cry. And he would do these things. I have heard a great devotee explain the reason for this. That the Lord breaks into our little orderly world. And he does things which we cannot understand. He does things, but he does them in such a way that our hearts are bound to him. Always very attractive. Always very, and we give up our mundane logic to understand it. I think this is something which we can learn. The God whom we are worshipping, it's not a Mickey Mouse God, a God who is explainable to the mind of modern men. The God whom we are worshipping is not someone who is following the laws of the German law system. He breathes out and creates a whole universe. That's not in the law system. That is not even explained anywhere. The Lord is the Lord whom we can understand only by surrender. Mother Sachi, whenever that happened, folded her hands and just whispered, "Nimai, oh Nimai." Yes, that was her devotion, the mother of the universe. When the Lord turned 11, his father had left him. He had mastered all the departments of Vedic knowledge. He engaged all the scholars of Nadia in verbal dispute, and he defeated them all. But he was most gentle and not at all Arab. Well, sometimes he was intense. He was most gentle, and he was binding the hearts of everyone. There was one scholar, he was Raghunandan. Raghunandan had written a commentary on logic, which was unique. Once he took a boat with Gauranga Mahaprabhu and went over the Ganga, and Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, Raghunandan, I have written something on logic. Would you like to hear it?" So then Raghunandan heard the most amazing explanation of I'm losing my audience. Is something wrong today? Or not?
Children.
Okay. Raghunandan heard an explanation on logic from Lord Chaitanya, who was just so young still, which was so brilliant that he became dejected. "Oh, my book is really not, will not stand up against this commentary." Lord Chaitanya saw Raghunandan being very dejected and could understand that Raghunandan was sad. He had written something with great effort, but it was not meaningful. So he took that work. So Lord Chaitanya saw his own work, his own scriptures, and he threw it into the Ganga and said, "Let this be lost, lost for all." I mean, if you have written a book which will conquer the intelligence of the world, and you see that a friend of you is sad because of this, you would say, "That's your problem." But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu threw it into the Ganga. No one ever found this book. It is lost forever. There's no... Mother Ganga took it, she washed the leaves clean, the ink disappeared in the Ganga, and he renounced it all. By this he showed that in the future he would renounce logic and material knowledge and would take only to the path of bhakti. So, I would like to come to a close. Now I will become, I guess I have to put a little energy into your mind so that you will be staying with me all this time. Prabhus, it's important to hear the leelas of the Lord. It's not luxury. It will purify you. If you have no taste for this, it shows that the mind is so much engaged with material subjects that we just can't import this into our thinking system. But the only way to become a little bit more advanced is we have to listen to this, and we have to let me say, let it act on us. We should see it in our mind's eye. I would like to now get onto a subject which is, just in closing, just very quickly, which is, I feel very important for us here. It relates to everyone in the room. It's not beyond us. Most of us here chant rounds each day, and we have to ask ourselves the question, the holy name which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to the world, what type of name is that? What is the method? Chanting was always done through, it is known as a big process in all the ages and so on. But what is Mahaprabhu's process? What is his speciality so that we can say it is something very extraordinary? See, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted in Jagannath Puri with the devotees, the king of Puri, Maharaj Prataparudra, was standing once on the roof, and he looked from the roof and he saw the kirtan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. What he saw was incredible. He saw that the devotees would cry, would roll on the ground. He saw also many things he couldn't explain to himself. Like the Lord, all of a sudden his body started to shrink, become very small. Then it started to become very long. Then he saw that from all the pores of his hair, blood oozed out. He'd never seen this. Then he saw that he rolled on the ground and tears came from his eyes like torrents of rain. Sometimes he could also see that Gaurahari floated in the air. He laughed, he fainted, he ran around, he danced, he was breathing very happily, heavily. He called out, "Ha ha, hey Krishna, alas!" This is from Chaitanya Chandramrita. And Prataparudra felt very touched in his heart and very ecstatic when he saw it. And he turned around to his scholar, Savabhumana, and he said, I see so many kirtans. In Jagannath Puri are so many kirtans performed every day by the residents, but also by the people who come here. But this is different. What is it? And Savabhuma said, that's a different experience. That's the creation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's called Prema Nama Sankirtan. The chanting of the holy name with prema, with love. Now those of you who have studied the spiritual psychology know that there are different stages which are there. The highest stage is the stage of prema, which goes through many transformation until it comes to Madanakya and Mohanakya, Mahabhava. It's a very exalted state. You know in this world a little bit love, and you know how love can transform you. Some of you have experienced love. I think all of us have experienced, and we know that at this moment our personality transforms. A strong queen, strong woman, will all of a sudden beg with tears in her eyes her lover to never leave her. A strong hero will serve his beloved, and he will tremble when she only raises her eyebrow and says, "Why did you come late for breakfast?" You know, it's love transforms. I gave some humorous examples, but you know from psychology, from your own psychology, if you ever have loved, that your personality transforms. Now imagine you experience love in the highest degree. Will you be the same afterwards? Will you be a normal person? You will be an extraordinary, ecstatic human being. And you will no longer be able to leave this path at all, because you have become a prisoner of love. In Vrindavan, when I was chanting extra rounds, I had a very nice servant, and the servant would always lock the door after me so that no one would disturb me and everyone thinks I'm not at home. He would lock from outside, and there was a big visible lock like this, so that even everyone can see that I'm not at home. And when he would lock the door, some said, it's dangerous, what if fire is there coming out? You can't get out of the place, it has such high walls. And I said, lock me. Take the big key, turn it around. Put me into the prison, because otherwise I will never be free. No, this is I took this from an ancient poem. We want to be absorbed in the divine love, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed it. But I want to say, because we live in the German society, Mahaprabhu's display of ecstatic symptoms is not explained in the scriptures. No, this was never ever displayed in this material world, nor is it possible for any human being who doesn't have a spiritual body to experience such ecstasy. It's not possible. Our bodies would break down. You will not experience this, in other words. Don't be afraid. In that degree. So, becoming so small. I don't think bones like this. You can ask Ananda Vardhan, our health man. They can't just tolerate this. It's not possible. But yes, Mahaprabhu gave, this is the point here, gave the holy name with prema. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, Mahaprabhu garlanded the whole world with a garland of the holy names, strung on the strum, we can see it here, of prema, of love. Therefore, Lord Brahma says, the secret of chanting this mantra is you can only find the guyo, the secret of the mantra, if you chant with bhakti. This is Mahaprabhu's speciality. He brought the two together. What he felt as he chanted is the same loving emotions which Srimati Radharani felt when Lord Krishna had left Vrindavan and went from Mathura. It's called viraha, the feelings of separation. Narahari Sarkas sings a song to Garanga. Yadi Gauranga Naito Tabe Ki Hoite Komone Dorito De Radharama Nima Prema Rasa Sima Jagate Janato Ke. If Sri Gauranga had not appeared, then what would have become of us? How would we have survived? Who could have taught the world about the glories of Srimati Radharani and the topmost limit of Prema Rasa? And he asked all these questions. He said, If he would not have come, how would we have understood Vrindavan, Dham? How would we have understood the confidential secrets of Krishna consciousness? It's not possible. It's simply not possible at all. He brought a specific form of ecstatic experience in Krishna consciousness through the holy name. Gauranga Mahaprabhu liked poetry very much, and he would sit often in his room and he would hear the poems of Chandidas. And Chandidas has written one poem about Syam Nam, the name of Syam. He has taken on the voice of Radha. Oh my dear Sakhi, Radha says to Lalita Vishaka, who has made me hear the name of Syama? Who was this? Who brought this name? Entering my heart through my ears, this name agitates my soul. I do not know how much sweetness fills this name of Syam. I don't know the sweetness, for my tongue cannot leave it. I chant it. I want to stop, but Syam, 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 Syam. As I go on repeating this name, I lose control of myself. Oh, Sakhi, how shall I ever be able to meet him? She asks, what will happen to me if I meet him, if his name already does this to me? This is the mood, some of the moods which Gauranga Mahaprabhu brought. I want to end my little presentation by now relating it to us. You know, when you are chanting, do you feel like that? I don't feel like that. What can we do in order to enter the experience of the holy name? Is there anything we can do? Do we have to wait until these things come? Or is it maybe like the promise of an institution? Stay with us and everything comes to you. Is it like this maybe? Is that the answer? Have you made a plan in your life how you will experience Krishna consciousness? Are you satisfied if it's a theory, a philosophy? Does this save you from your material attachments? I'm just asking a few questions. Mahaprabhu's teachings to his devotees how to chant the holy name is, you know, he had to leave some teachings behind. When he was there, they were really for the masses, that is the ordinary people, there was just chanting for hours and hours and hours, and everyone would be in ecstasy. There was no need of philosophy, nothing, no need to explain anything. They felt it. You know. Mahaprabhu would talk philosophy, but to really, really, really philosophical people like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He would sit on end and discuss the things. In his youth, he was so expert in this, he showed his expertise. I think that no one could criticize him later. I think that must be his mind, but that's my speculation. Maybe I shouldn't speculate. He defeated the biggest scholars of his time. He knew. And he's, even as when he was in the mode of sannyas and was spreading his bhakti movement, he would engage in discussions with some scholars. But generally, for the general people, it was just chanting and hearing about Krishna from the Bhagavatam, and singing also songs about the pastimes of Krishna. they are called Padyavali songs. And they would describe the Lord's pastimes from early morning until late at night and throughout the night. They would absorb their minds into Krishna's pastime. But he left systematic teachings. He told his devotees, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, to systematize the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And they explained how to do japa and how to do kirtan in their works. Sanatan Goswami writes something which I always thought is very important. He said we should chant in the same way as a lover calls for his missing beloved. And he gave examples so that it was not would not be so, so that there would be no chance to mistake or misunderstand his examples from animals, from birds who would cry. One was the Chataki bird who doesn't drink water from the ground, but he waits all year for the rain clouds to come, and then he drinks only from the rain clouds. This is an example which gives you an idea of a relationship. Imagine how thirsty the bird is if he stays without water for a whole year. He will be like, oh no, water, 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 give this to me. I need it to live. I need it to survive. That's the first thing. And call after Krishna like this, I need you. And call in another way, like he gave another example from a bird who in the night looks for his partner because they want to spend the night together, but they just can't meet. They are cursed. There's an old curse, but anyways, biologically speaking, they just can't find anything in the night so easy. So an idea of need is there. An idea of I need you, Krishna. Some of us don't feel we need Krishna. We cry for different things. We cry, we need some financial stability, we need to be understood, and so many things. But as far as we Vaishnavas are concerned, although you give your tears other names, you really only want the Lord. When you sit down in your early morning hours, have a prayer in your heart and the mantra in your lips. Your chanting must become heart deep. If you just have a lip deep chanting, you will give it up. But if you have a heart deep chanting, that means if you have a concern in your heart, something which you, where you want to call for Krishna, knowing that you need him so much, that you are separated for much too long, at that time you will chant the holy name with bhakti. If you chant it without bhakti, it is some one thing, but if you chant it with bhakti, it will show you all the secrets and all the experiences which you need to have at this particular stage of your spiritual development. Mahaprabhu's unique treasure, unique gift to all of us is this. And therefore, I request you so much, tune in to Mahaprabhu. Tune in, find out what he was, what he said, what he did. Follow his example and you will see something will come in your heart. Because the spiritual psychology of the Vedas teaches us, if we meditate about the qualities of an exalted person, these qualities will come into our heart. The Bhagavatam says, if you have no taste in your spiritual life, then serve the devotees. Because by what you associate, with whom you associate, these qualities of the person come in your heart. Prabhupada was so keen on this that he would look through magazines like Time magazine, and he would then put the magazine on the table. He would close it and said, "Don't look at these magazines. They make the material world appear so real. It looks so real." Of course, this is the transcendentalist. The transcendentalistic approach to Krishna consciousness is this. The same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave instructions to his devotees that they do look in their heart, they find out the different conditionings which are there in the heart, and they work with this. That is the Weltzugewandte part of his teachings, those part of his teachings where we look towards the world. I think in modern times we need both. The reason why I speak like this is I think there is already enough, oh, ich muss mal jetzt ins Herz schauen, oh, ich muss mal ordentlich an mir arbeiten, oh, ich muss mir darüber bewusst werden. This is what the Spatzen pfeifen from the Dach. very much known in the consciousness of modern men. But we need also ecstasy. We need also bhakti. We need also devotion. Maybe more than anything, we need that. So, Hare Krishna. I have started today with the early miracles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have not come very far. The next lecture will be more miracles, and then there will be a third lecture and a fourth lecture. I'm just preparing this for a seminar on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which I intend to give in Sri Dhammayapur this year. There is a festival just before the Kirtan Mela. It's called the Festival of Listening. Shravan Utsava. Shravan Utsava. Festival of Listening. And I have been invited to speak there. And I will talk about all of you and your listening abilities. And I will say, I will challenge my audience. You listen very well, please. So that something stays in your heart. I thank you very much. Let us see if there are some questions. We still have a little time, one or two. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Prema Purushottama Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Gaura Prema Nandi. Hare Krishna Mangala. Su Mangala.
I sometimes make an experience when I try to chant in this mood of calling out Krishna, and I think maybe others also make, just use myself as a person, that sometimes when I just sit down in the morning and then I tell my mind, please chant with some longing for Krishna, and then my mind goes, oh, you really want to spend your life crying? You want to be happy? And then I really have to like battle with my mind so that it can get into this mood of really chanting with the heart for Krishna, or calling out for Krishna from the heart. That maybe you can tell me something to break this up. In my mood.
I would like to repeat your question. I sometimes try to, chant in the morning with a feeling of longing. But when I try to convince my mind, now chant like this, he goes like, I want to be happy, I don't want to cry the rest of my life. There are a couple of answers which come to mind. First of all, this crying is different from the crying of this world. I would like to give you an example from my own life. I experience sometimes when I come to the Holy Dham, something which is called an abhas, a shadow of bhava. Rupa Goswami calls it a bhava abhas. It's not yet the real thing, because the real thing would not leave me so quickly, and there would be certain symptoms which are described in the scriptures. It is a bhava abhas, a shadow of it. And I believe all of us have felt at times this type of abhas, where the subject matter of Krishna begins to touch a chord in your heart, das berührt eine Seite im Herzen, die bisher gar nicht angeschlagen wurde durch unsere Erfahrung. It touches a chord in our heart, which then makes a sound which we have not heard in the music of our emotions. It's something different. It is something which is even hard to compare with any other experience. It comes especially to pilgrims in the Holy Dham. I once heard a lecture about this from His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, who spoke about his experiences in Mayapur Dham, and who analyzed it from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as a Bhakti Bhava Abhas. No? Rupa Goswami has written about this. And when you feel that, it's a very interesting feeling. It's very intense, where it's a mixture of longing, but at the same time, it has the greatest happiness in it, which you can ever feel. There is a poet, he is quite known in this in modern times, Kahil Gibran, you might have heard it. He's from Lebanon, and his poetry is influenced by the Sufi tradition. And he has talked about this feeling of both longing and happiness, you know. In a very interesting poem, I will first speak it in German, because then I can say it in English. Gut, dann verlass doch die Tenne der Liebe, lauf doch heraus in die Welt, aber wisse, du wirst nicht all deine Tränen dort weinen und du wirst auch nicht all dein Lachen haben. Zu Deutsch gesagt, es ist eine mittelmäßige Erfahrung, die du da hast. Du wirst nicht all deine Tränen weinen und du wirst nicht all dein Lachen lachen. Verlass die Tenne, Tenne kennt ihr aus dem Deutschen, das ist der Heuboden der Liebe. Da haben sich Bauern getroffen, Bauernjungs und Bauernmädchen auf dem Heuboden. Gut, verlass die Tenne der Liebe, er meint die göttliche Liebe damit. Lauf hinaus in die Welt, die dich so anzieht, aber du wirst dort nicht all deine Tränen weinen und nicht all dein Lachen lachen. And this is a, you know, Sufi poesy is they talk about one thing, but they mean something else. He talks about divine love in this. So what he wants to express is the same thing, the type of love which is talked about here is something which is just something overwhelming, totally overwhelming. The English is a, okay, Then leave the house of, I can only express it with the words, then leave the house of the word. No, then leave the house of love, divine love. Run into the word. But no, you will not cry all your tears and you will not laugh all your laughter there. You will live a mediocre, total mittelmäßiges love. Leben without any of the important frequencies of experience. Yeah. So it is something, so it is very sweet, Mangala. It's not something bad. Now, but the worst thing which you could do is try to somehow bring yourself, okay, this lecture, let me somehow force it into myself. Mangala, the only way you can experience something in relationship to Krishna is you must first become aware of Krishna. You must take help of the Bhagavatam, which describes the wonderful nature of the Lord. And when you hear this, after some time, you come from Shravana Das, that is the hearing, to something which is like an experience. Do you know why in India there was no cinema for so long? And do you know what was the first TV shows of India? In India there was no TV for so long because there was no need. There were those who talked about Krishna in the village, Katakaras, and people would know the art, how to listen and see that in their heart. And when the first TV shows came up in India, do you know what they were? Mahabharata, Ramayana, Krishna Leela. Do you know what they see now in India? Most Einschaltequoten? Weltmeisterschaft. No, wrong, no Weltmeisterschaft. Ramayana, Mahabharata. Because this people have grown up, or they have been groomed heißt aufgezogen, in a culture which was God conscious. The Krishna. What I have seen, Mangala, best is when you feel dry and dull. I can't imagine this ever happens to you, but it happens to me. Read a little in the scriptures to just see who is Krishna, how wonderful he is, and that will be very good for you. That is very good. I think you do this already. You have 8 big volumes of Shivaram Maharaj's Vrindavan Mahimamrita and overdoses of Krishna Katha. But it's important that you have that in your consciousness. It's not enough to have them on the bookshelf, so heavy that it almost breaks down. you have to have it inside of you, and it will come. It's a process and a practice. Good. Thank you very much. Anyone else has a question? Du wirst auch gar nicht älter.
Ja.
Ich meine, du knackfrisch vom Olivenöl wahrscheinlich.
Ja.
Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says something quite amazing. He says that every day should be Golakatha. In Kali Yuga, this is the therapy every day. I just wanted to say something else. I wanted to, from my heart, congratulate you. I have talked with a few of you the last few, since I'm back from India, really, and I have seen that a very nice change has happened in the community. It becomes more and more, on one hand, they practice a natural life. a natural approach to Krishna consciousness. Some of you think it's too natural, but on the other side, there is also a very big increase in really deep thinking. How can we as a community practice more Krishna consciousness? I know that Muniraj does regular holy name evenings here where he chants and others chant, and lectures were given here. Saturday feasts are here. I want to really encourage you to continue on this line and to see how you can bring yourself into this. Don't demand others to do it. Do it yourself, to live a little bit more connected with our glorious tradition. This will create a community spirit, which is very important for us to go to the next phase. A community spirit is something which you could call like a group mind. I told this to the devotees in Goloka Dham, that when you walk in the fields, you will often see the wild goose. They start to fly and they build a formation. It looks like a V, and then they go from the cold season. Winter comes here now to North Africa, not South Africa, North Africa, and warmer regions. How do they know to fly? They know to fly because it is called a group mind. I don't think that's a word which you say for animals, but they are all in one mind. They know, well, we go this way, and it is good if we go together this way. I think for us as a community, it is important to develop a group mind, but different from other approaches where you just say, we have to be like this, we have to be like this, we have to be like this. I believe our group mind will come when wir uns besinnen auf unsere Spiritualität. All of you are spiritual people. So if you connect with your own spirituality, with your authentic spirituality. Spirituality is as authentic and unique as your fingerprint. There's no fingerprint like your fingerprint in the whole world. It is only you have this fingerprint. So you have to find also your spiritual fingerprint, your own Krishna consciousness, which will be your own way of approaching Krishna. Of course, within the framework of a tradition, we are all devotees of Krishna here. So if you do this, if you take part, and I make this very clear in my Dharma module, you can't think yourself into a new way of life. You have to act yourself into the new way of life. See, there are certain things which you can develop through theoretical knowledge. You can study books, you can learn them, you can then repeat them in an examination. Knowledge can be learned like this. But life skills, they come like muscles. You have to train them, not just think about it or speak about it. You had your Mr. Bodybuilder here for 1 week, I think, fitness trainer. He must have told you. You might have said, no, I just go like this and I think about exercise, you know. And he said, no, okay, take your feet away from the table and move around. Then only something can come to you. Your life is not a theoretical matter. It is a matter which happens only by practice. Therefore, this kirtan evening, or coming together and hearing about Lord Chaitanya, our philosophy, is something which is a practice, and that will give us the results which we need. Very important. I feel because now somehow we still have a few, one or two maybe people or personalities who are not yet sure, do we want to be with these, with the devotees or not? They are there for the money, and the comfort which a community offers naturally. But I think the majority of you have made your decision, and now I sincerely request you to get into spiritual practice together so that you can experience the group mind, or the togetherness, you can say, because I think this place is blessed. The time waiver is a blessed thing. It's something which opens to the world of consciousness, and if we are all now connecting with this world, spiritual consciousness. Actually, consciousness is always something spiritual. It's a symptom of the soul, not the symptom of matter. At that time, we will be able to go the next step. But for that, we don't just want to have a building. We need to have first. We need to have the devotees who are fulfilled in a spiritual way. That is my humble request to all of you. Please, everyone, think about this. What my suggestion is, do spiritual things together, sankirtan or listening together. Please come, because we want to create something so that we can not fly to North Africa, that's a boring place, but go to the spiritual, into the spiritual dimension. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Sri Sri Gaura Nitai ki
jai,
Gaura Premanandi
ki jai.
Krishna, Krishna.